Good evening. We had a fun weekend at Chennai. I was with Pastor Brian, and 2 days just it was great. We spent the time with Pastor Sam. He drove us around the city, and he was like, he got so fired up that he was driving around like an ambulance driver, and and then Pastor always made me sit in the front. He's like, no, you sit in the front, I'll sit in the back, and we had so much fun. His daughters are so awesome. They're growing up, and the younger one is Sharon, and I was playing around with her at their house, and then she was like, do you want to come in and see my room? And I was like, I knew instantly that means a lot if a little girl asks you, do you want to come in and see my room? I was like, shh. Yes, I have a friend. I have a message. It's quite a few verses. I'll go through it one by one. It's a loaded message. That's what I think. I'll pray. Lord, thank you so much for the service you, God, we expect, Lord, that you would refresh our hearts as we hear you and speak to us, and just, Lord, minister to our spirits. Just give us joy today, in Jesus' name. Song of Solomon. I'll run through a few scripture references, and the message I have is related to boasting, the boasting that we have as a believer priest. We have a boasting, and that's the message. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, there's verse 9, this is a song between an exchange between the Shulamite women and Solomon, and it's also that love between them is a reflection of how God saw his people and Christ and the church. And so the Shulamite woman has her companions, and then they're asking her a question. What is your beloved, in verse 9, what is your beloved more than another beloved? Oh, you fairest among women, what is your beloved more than another beloved that you do so charge us? That's one. There is a question that's asked, what is so special about your beloved? That's what they're asking. What more than any other beloved? And it's a good question. We'll come back to this. John chapter 13, the second scripture of John chapter 13 is John chapter 13 is the upper room where Christ in this chapter is washing the feet of his disciples. But before that, in verse 2 and 3, the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Just think of the scene. Like back in Baltimore, for the Easter play, we had like the upper room, this scene. In your mind, if you can picture it, like people are sitting around a table, and then the disciples and Christ, and it's just like another meal, like the way we have a wrap outside or something. But I mean, on the outside, there is like many things happening. I mean, there are not many things. It's just something common. But inside, there is so much. The devil is working, having now put into the heart of Judas, right? And then in verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he was come from God and went to God, right? There's something happening in Judas's heart, and then there is something happening in Christ's heart. There is so much happening, but the picture on the outside is just like, you know, Christ is sitting with his 12, and then they're waiting on the food. They place the order, but, you know, they're waiting on the food. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Excuse me for the exercise. There's just a few. Therefore, judge nothing. Verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Judge nothing before. There are so many things that you can think of when you think of Judas as a character in the Bible. And then you can also say that he judged, like, you know, he judged Christ before the time. He wrote him off mentally before the time. And then I feel like the fallen nature of man cannot like place who Christ is in my own understanding. I cannot place who Christ is. And it's very easy for me to write things off. But God speaks to the conscience, and he cleanses my conscience. And God also, like we've learned, God also helps me develop a spiritual conscience, where I'm now not just like operating in like the low level of the, like, you know, a law of sin and death, good, bad, morality. I'm able to see more than that, and I'm trying to see, oh, God is like building in me a new kind of a conscience, you can say, or a spiritual conscience. And that is in 2 Corinthians 4. How do I develop a spiritual conscience? It's when God speaks to us through his word. In verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, and he's saying, I have not handled the word of God deceitfully. I've just spoken to you like exactly what it is. I've declared it to you. But by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Means I've spoken to you clearly what the word is saying, and then that is what builds in us a spiritual conscience. And if I have a spiritual conscience, then I also have the ability to rightly judge. Instead of like judging something before its time, instead of like trying to like, oh, I have Christ figured out, that's what Judas thought, I'm able to rightly judge. And in the in the next chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, Second Corinthians 5:14. Check that. For the love of Christ constrains us, the love of Christ like presses against me and holds me, embraces me. Because we judge thus. Because we judge thus. This is what I'm talking about. Like I'm able to like correctly judge that if one died for all, then we were all dead. That is how I correctly judge. That's the judgment I need to judge with. If one died for all, and all are, if Christ died for me and for everything that relates to my life, and He's given me something new, a new heart, then I judge it is so, and I hold that same yardstick for me and for anyone else. As God, like the word comes into the heart, builds in me a spiritual conscience, and I'm able to rightly judge. And this is like there is a process in the heart. There is a process in the heart. God teaches us. The love of God constrains us. God shows that I am not limited by anything. In my new creation as a believer priest, I am not limited by anything except the love of God. The love of God like presses against me. And it also perfects me. There is a process. 1 John 4:17, if we read that, we see that this is the last scripture reference. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. And this is like, this is in one sense like a positional truth, like we say, like God has like said, like among us, God has like put me in the body, and then among us, His love is perfected. And then also in my experience, God perfects me in the same love. Because just as He is, so are we in this world. As this process starts to happen in our lives, and I start to develop a spiritual conscience, and God gives me the space to think and rightly judge, and now I'm motivated by His love, there is a boasting in the heart, right? There is a boasting. The new man can boast like you with... And that is, you know, going back to Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 9. Like, what is your beloved more than any other beloved? And I'll be like, great question. You asked the right question. Have a seat. Would you like a coffee? Would you like some tea? Would you like some cookies? I would love to answer that question, you know. Like, and then I can go at it. I can tell you why is my beloved more than any other beloved. Father, thank You for this evening, and just bless the rest of the message and speak to our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.